With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
All right, good to have you with us right here on The Fan on a Saturday morning. I'm Chris Russell, along with Sean Summers, back in our DC Half Street studios on what sort of feels like a fall Saturday morning, huh? Little breezy out there, little rain overnight, maybe a little bit more to come, some dark kind of overcast skies, at least out here in Loudoun County, where we broadcast from as we get set for week one of the NFL season. We'll get right back to your calls at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. My guy Jonathan in Fairfax is waiting on hold. We'll get to him. We'll get to you on the AAA Always On-Call listener line. Listen, I don't do a lot of guests, okay? So I want you guys to call the show. I want to hear from you. I want to hear what you're feeling, right? The fan, I want to talk to the fans. That's why I don't book a lot of guests. I could book 8 guests if I want to. I don't. I want to talk to you, okay? I want to hear your voice. I want to get interactive with you. And if you don't want to call, tweet me, WrestleMania621, at WrestleMania621. And if you hate me, you can send all your hate mail and tweets to at Sean Fresh Nikes. Is that right, Sean?
No.
I screwed that up. What did I do?
It's like, no, it's right. It's correct.
Oh, okay. Yeah, don't tag me. Tag Sean.
Utter disrespect.
And Sean is spelled S-H-A-U-N, just so that you know.
We were cool, Russell. We were cool.
I'm just teasing. But just don't send the hate tweets to me, because then I get angry and then I have to get mad, and I'm trying really hard not to get mad.
Well, I'll take the bullet for you, Russell.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate you. You're a good man. You've always been a good man to me. All right. So here's the deal. Let me go over a couple of things in this football game that you might see tomorrow at 1. A couple of things that jump out to me. Number one, I think everybody's talking about, Terry McLaurin versus Darius Slay, and for good reason. I think last year in the Washington-Detroit matchup, when Slay was with the Lions, and again, everybody's scheme is a little bit different, so you have to kind of factor that in. But he was, I believe, if I remember correctly, mostly a man corner, and I know you're going to play a lot of man coverage under Jim Schwartz in Philadelphia, right? I just know that. So I would expect Darius Slay to travel with Terry McLaurin, right side, left side. What I don't know is if he travels inside the slot. That I don't know. I don't have enough tape on him. I don't have enough time. I don't have enough knowledge of him just yet. I'll find that out tomorrow. But because Washington might not know the answer to that either, I would test him in that regard. I would find out early. I would move Terry McLaurin into the slot from his traditional outside line. Now, that doesn't mean that he didn't work inside the slot at all last year. He did. As a matter of fact, in the very first game, he lined up against the Eagles. He lined up in the slot a couple of times, right? And then there were a couple of times more throughout the season. And Terry McLaurin was good at that at Ohio State. He operated out of the slot in spread sets out of the slot. So he's a very good route runner. So he can absolutely do it. And I know he's mentioned it over the offseason, and I asked him about it this week. I said, hey, you know, you and Steven Sims, I said, it seems like there's going to be more of an emphasis on positional versatility and alignment versatility in this offense, meaning McLaurin more inside, Sims more outside to take advantage of matchups and speed and all that stuff. And he said, look, I said, you know, is that this system compared to last year's system? Or is that because you guys are year two? And he said, look, it's a combination of both. You know, yes, we're more experienced. You can do more with us in year two. We have a year under our belt, practice, games, this, that, and the other thing, coaching. And then this system wants you to do more of that anyway. Okay, so you combine those two. What I'm telling you is I would not be surprised if very early tomorrow, whether it be the first snap on the first series or in the first quarter, if you see Steven Sims lined up on the far outside and Terry McLaurin lined up on the inside in the slot, in a traditional slot alignment, or if you see like a 3-by-1 set where, again, McLaurin is kicked inside, maybe in between Steven Sims on one side and another receiver, say Dontrell Inman on the inside, or a tight end or whatever, in a 3-by-1 alignment, so that you can get more favorable man matchups and so that you can confuse the defense a little bit. And so that you say, okay, if we move him inside, McLaurin meaning, if we move Sims outside, does Nickell Roby-Coleman go outside with Steven Sims because they're largely a man defense? Or does it flip? Does it rotate? So these are the cat and mouse type games, especially with no preseason and with a lot of new personnel that Scott Turner is going to have to poke and prod and figure out early in tomorrow's game. But look for that. I would be very surprised if you don't see that. That's number one. Number two, I would be very, 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 very surprised if you don't see, and I've said this all training camp, I've said this all offseason, I would be shocked if you don't see a lot of natural throw to the running back by design type of offensive philosophy in this offense. Whether you'll see it as much tomorrow as you might see it in week two or week three, I don't know. I don't know. But ultimately, here's how I would describe it. And maybe this is unfair, but this is what I saw on tape, and this is what I know to be true. Jay Gruden hated throwing to the running backs by design. The running backs were a throw to them by necessity, as opposed to a throw to them by design. He wanted to press the ball down the field. He wanted to run complex layers of routes and combinations. And all of that fine and fancy stuff is great if you have a quarterback that can read it, if you have a quarterback that can rip it, if you have a quarterback that's accurate, if you have an offensive line that can hold up, if you can do all of those things consistently, not on one throw, not on, you know, once a drive, not in the first quarter, but not in the third quarter. That was the problem all along with Jay Gruden's offense. And listen, I like Jay, okay? I don't think Jay was as smart of a football coach as everybody else thought he was from an offensive philosophy, because I'm telling you, he did not throw to the running back by design. He did not run a lot of slants. He did not run a lot of quick stuff. He did not run a lot of tempo by design. All of the stuff that I can almost guarantee you, and if Scott Turner's listening to me now, sorry, Scott, I'm doing my job. I'm not sharing any trade secrets here. This was, you know, stuff that we were allowed to report. This was stuff that we were allowed to see. And also I'm just using common sense, okay, and people that I've talked to. And I don't talk to a lot of people because I don't trust a lot of people. I talk to a very few people because I don't trust their motives and their mindset. They're not out to help me. They're out to help themselves, okay? But I know football, and I know philosophy, and I know this, that Scott Turner is going to be more of a throw to the running back by design. Not by necessity, by design. There is a difference. And I would also say this. You are going to see a ton of jet sweep motion, both in front of the quarterback who's in pistol or shotgun, and behind the quarterback, essentially like what an end-around reverse type used to look like. You're going to see a lot of jet motion. You're going to see a lot of shifting and motion, especially, I think, inside the red zone as they try and dictate matchups, as they try and figure out matchups. And maybe it'll be a little bit easier against the Eagles because, again, they're more of a man defense. At least they have been, unless they've changed it up. And I guess we'll find that out tomorrow because we don't have any game film, right? But that's what Jim Schwartz has always been. But my point of the matter is you are going to have, I believe, a offensive coordinator that understands I can't do everything that I want to do. I can't throw the ball 40 yards down the field every time. I can't seven-step drop constantly. I have to get the ball out of my quarterback's hands. I have to run slants and screens, not only the running backs, but heavily to the running backs, to the tight ends, to the wide receivers, which Jay did do. He just didn't want to throw to the running back for whatever reason. And you say, well, Chris, what are you talking about? There were games Chris Thompson had 12 catches. Yeah, dummies. It was by necessity, not by design. That's the point. And when I say by design, the offenses that I'm talking about are the Kansas City Chiefs, the Philadelphia Eagles, the New Orleans Saints, by design. Even the New England Patriots, a lot of picks, rubs, a lot of throws to the running backs, a lot of quick stuff. Get the ball out of the quarterback's hands. Let him see it. Let him read it. Let him hit it. Let him throw it. Don't let him get hit as much as you possibly can. Of course you're going to take your deep shots. Of course you're not going to just run four-yard routes. I got it. I understand that. I'm not saying this is going to be Josh McDaniels, Tom Brady's 2.0. But there's going to be a lot more elements of that. And there's going to be a lot more elements of Alvin Kamara and New Orleans and Sean Payton and Christian McCaffrey without Christian McCaffrey, although they think Antonio Gibson could potentially be their Christian McCaffrey and J.D. McKissick. There's going to be a lot more of that this year and moving forward. I firmly believe this than you've ever seen. And whoa, I just went on a 15-minute rant and I just realized how late I am. Sorry. Sorry, Sean. My bad. I'll take the hit with CK. All right. We'll take a timeout. Those are two huge things that I want you guys to be mentally prepared for, to envision, to think about for tomorrow. And if I'm wrong, again, I'll be critical of it, but I'll admit that I'm wrong. But I don't think I'm going to be wrong. Two huge things that you should really focus in on for tomorrow and for this year with the Washington football team. All right, your calls, your thoughts. Can the Washington football team get to Carson Wentz? How will they? Do they have to blitz? He's owned them in the past. Can they beat him? Can they get a division win for the first time since what? October of 2018, tomorrow afternoon at home against the Philadelphia Eagles. We'll start to answer those questions along with you at 800-636-1067 on the Fan next. All right, good to have you with us right here on the Fan on a Saturday morning, 800-636-1067. What are you looking for tomorrow? What do you want to see? What do you need to see? Whether it be from a statistical perspective out of Dwayne Haskins, whether it be Terry McLaurin over 100 yards, whether it be a tight end make a catch, whether it be Antonio Gibson. How about Chase Young? Does he need to have a sack in order to have an impact? Especially going, not that he'll exclusively go against Jason Peters, because he won't. He lines up at the right defensive end and the left defensive end spot, and he could go against Lane Johnson, assuming Lane Johnson is playing. He's questionable. My guess is he'll play. What do you think? 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. What do you want to see? What do you need to see out of the Washington football team besides a win? I mean, I think we all understand that it would be great to start your season off with a win. Last year, they should have won in Philadelphia. They did not. They choked it up in the second half. That's another thing, and we'll get to Jonathan and Fairfax in a sec. That's another thing that I think is going to change. I don't want to say right away, but I think, I could be wrong, big picture item, just like I was talking about, McLaurin inside, Sims outside, and tempo by design, and also shifting, motion, and throwing to the running backs by design more than necessity. All the stuff that I just ranted about last segment. Another thing that I think you are going to see is you are going to see this team be much better in the second half. Now, they're not going to be perfect. They're not going to be perfect. I've seen enough evidence of that in practice to know that they're not going to be perfect. But Jay Gruden's teams, by and large, would come out house on fire. They would come out like they had been kicked in the teeth all week long by the media. And a lot of times that was the case. And they started fresh, and they had juice in their legs, and the defense was doing their thing and getting off the field, and the running, you know, and the passing game, you know, at times under Kirk, under Case Keenum, under Alex, it was kind of inconsistent, you know, but there were times where the passing game looked crisp, and the running game, you know, there were times where it didn't look good, there were times where it did look good, and there were times where they actually looked like a pretty good football team. For the first half of the season, for the first half of games. And sometimes it would extend beyond the first half, but by and large, and almost to a, almost that you could take it to the bank. Second half comes and they would wilt like you wouldn't believe. Like they would melt like a vanilla ice cream cone on a hot summer Sunday. They would just wilt and they would just melt. And you could see it and it would maybe be slow at first and then boom. And it's exactly what happened week one last year against Philadelphia. And what happened in, now there were some games where obviously they were struggling from the start, like week three, Monday Night Football against the Bears last year. They were bad from the start. I'm not saying it happened in every game. But it happened in a lot of games. Think about the New England game last year. They started out, they were up, 7-0, I think, after one quarter, and then lost 36-7. And sometimes that's the opponent taking a little while to get the oil running through their engine. Sometimes that was Washington, again, starting out as good as they could start out, as fresh as they could start out, and not having the endurance and not having the focus and not having the concentration. And I can tell you this one thing. That has been a continuous message from Ron Rivera. Hey, we practice for 2 hours, 2 hours and 10 minutes here. A football game lasts 3 hours. Now you have commercial breaks. So, and you have a halftime. So it's not really a true 3 hours, obviously. But the point of the matter is you have to focus and concentrate for 3 hours. You cannot have a major dip in the last half an hour of a 2+ hour practice. Or you cannot go hard for 2 hours and 10 minutes and then fall asleep in the last 45 minutes of a game block. And that's the point that I think Ron Rivera smartly has drilled home to his team. Now, I don't know if it immediately will change, because of no preseason games and because teams figure to be a little bit gassed, and usually deeper teams with heavier rotations will be able to survive early in a season. Again, until you get that oil running through the engine and guys get used to playing 40, 50, 60 snaps a game. But the point being is that Ron Rivera has preached to his team, look, you cannot just focus for a half an hour. You cannot just concentrate and come out house on fire for 15 minutes or a quarter and a half or a half. And for everybody that would say, oh, Jake Gruden didn't make halftime adjustments. Baloney. Of course he would. His team was dog-ass tired in the second half. Why? Because they didn't practice hard. And I kept screaming about that, and the Club J, and the soft culture, and the cream cheese culture, and the nipple twisting, and the hopping on people's backs, and the holding open of doors, and the club DJs, and the dancing, and DJ Swearinger tried to tell you exactly what was going on there, and nobody believed him, and nobody believed me. They all thought I was bitter, and instead I was just telling you the truth. Well, now you don't see any of that. You see a DJ, you see music for stretching, 5 minutes, 6 minutes, 7 minutes, whatever it is, at the beginning of practice. After that, the music goes off, nobody's dancing, nobody's twisting Ron Rivera's nipples, thank God. This is football. That's another thing that I expect to see improve. What do you need to see improve? What are you looking for? 800-636-1067. Your call's coming up next on The Fan. 10:35 right here on The Fan. Enough of me. I've been ranting and raving for an hour and a half. Let's go out to you. Let's start on the phones on the AAA Always On Call listener line at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. We've got a couple of Fairfax calls. First, we start off with our pal Jonathan in Fairfax on the Fan. Hey, John, good morning. How are you, pal?
Hey, fine, Chris. Good morning to you, and good morning to Sean.
Absolutely.
You were asking about what we were going to do tomorrow. I think a friend of mine was telling me about a bar in Herndon, Jimmy's Tavern, that's actually a Bill's place. And apparently it's got great food according to the menu. So
I've been there before. Unfortunately, it was for a funeral, like get together afterwards, and which was sad in and of itself. But yes, very good food. Good food. We had as good of a time as you could have in that circumstance. Yes, I don't know what their setup is. You know, obviously people have to be safe and outside or socially distant. I don't know how all that's working, and that's what I'm saying. That's complicating things, right? Is that normally people could go to a bar if they're not going to the game? You can do that. It's just, you know, places I think probably need, you know, kind of an outdoor setup or a very spaced out setup inside.
Yeah, I agree. And it sounds like from what I saw online, that's what it looks like. So they'll have some outside and some inside. So if it's an outside, I'll probably gravitate to outside for a while.
Right.
So that's what I plan on doing. Yeah. And, you know, your point about, you know, what the Redskins are going to look like. You know, what I see from guys like Rivera over his career and then with some of his coordinators, especially Del Rio, they're very good at taking what the player is good at and integrating that into their system, whereas I think other coaches, and I think Jay was like this, and based on what you were telling me and telling all of us, is that Jay had a philosophy and a system, and it's going to be this way.
Correct.
And he didn't really work with the talent that he had in an integrating, you know, in kind of an integrating way.
Correct.
And I think that held the Redskins back.
I absolutely agree. And I'm glad you brought it up in that context. And I'm going to jump in here and then let you counter. Remember, I don't know if you remember this game, but remember late 2018 after Alex obviously broke his leg, Colt McCoy was done for the season with a broken leg, even though they stupidly gave him a chance to come back. And then Mark Sanchez was so awful that they had to bring in that Josh Johnson guy. You remember that guy?
Yeah. All right, I remember him.
All right, so they go down to Jacksonville. Now, this is Jacksonville, 1 year removed from almost going to the Super Bowl, but it's been an awful year. Team is dreadful. They go to Jacksonville, but they've got a still pretty good defense, and they've got Josh Johnson, who can't play in this league, and who's nothing more than a journeyman with athleticism. And Jay called for the first time in my opinion, and I said this that night or that day right after the game, for the first time since 2015, when Kirk Cousins was in his first year as a starter, week one and week two against Miami and the then St. Louis Rams, I thought, Jay, that was the first time he actually called and tailored a game plan and executed a game plan to his quarterback's strengths and weaknesses. And what I meant by that was they ran a lot of slants. They ran a lot of quick stuff, a lot of get the ball out. Don't make it super complicated. Don't deal with a lot of the downfield complex layers and routes and different combinations that he's got to read a lot of stuff. Get the ball out. And Jay did it perfectly that day in Jacksonville, and ironically, Jonathan, they won, and it was the only game they won down the stretch in that game. They won because Jay tailored a game plan to fit his talent, which is exactly what you're saying, and he did not do that enough. I'm not saying he never did it. He did not do it enough because Jay wanted to be the smartest guy in the room when it came to offensive play design, and a lot of people fell for it, and a lot of people thought, hey, this guy's a genius, but in reality, you can only be as smart as your players can execute, and I agree with you. I think Scott Turner, Ron Rivera, Jack Del Rio, they are going to give what their players can handle and process, and then they'll sprinkle in other stuff, but they're not going to throw the whole kitchen sink at them.
Yeah, and I think overall that will help a young team and a team that you know has talent. They just need to be coached up. So I think, like we discussed the other day, I'm encouraged by the Redskins having guys like Rivera and Turner and Del Rio as coaches. I think they have I hate to say it like this, but they have a better quartet of coaches than what they used to have.
I don't think there's any. You don't have to be ashamed for saying that. I here's what I know. I don't know if Ron Rivera is a great head coach, right? I don't know if he. I know he's not Bill Belichick. Okay, I don't know if he's. I know he's not Andy Reid. That type of thing. But here's what I know. He's a great person. I think he's a really good football coach. I think Jack Del Rio is a guy who has had a lot of success in this league, specifically as defensive coordinator, but also almost 200 games as a head coach. And I know Scott Turner has been groomed as well as you can groom anybody to be an offensive coordinator in one of the most successful offensive systems that there have been. And he's been tutored and brought up and he's fresh and he's innovative and he's the right time. So I just know that. So that's no insult to Jay Gruden and his staff. The bottom line is this staff should be a lot better. And therefore, again, the more consistent results should be there. So we'll see starting tomorrow. I think they'll win, but, I could be wrong. I mean, Kendall Fuller being out is, very likely is a big, big, big concern for me. But thankfully, I feel better about the rest of their secondary than I certainly did at any point over the last couple of years. So we'll see on that. John, always good to hear from you, my friend. I appreciate you. Have fun at the bar tomorrow. Thank you, as always. Okay. I appreciate that. All right, let's move along here at 10:42. Let's get to Sam in Fairfax before we take a timeout. Hey, Sam, how are you?
Hey, Rooster, do you have
What's
me?
What's up, Sam? Yeah, I got you. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, good to hear from you. Absolutely.
Good to hear from you.
I've got a quick comment, and then I'll answer your direct question I'm really hoping to see tomorrow. I've been a tremendous football fan of the Washington football team for 30 years, and I never remember a season where I've been less excited about opening day. It's really kind of bothering me. But I think it makes a lot of sense in a couple of ways, and I think there's probably a lot of listeners out there that feel like me. Number one, this pandemic has just been so mentally taxing, and it's causing a lot of stresses in families. So, sports becomes less important in your life hierarchy, if that makes sense.
Absolutely, 1,000% agree. No doubt. No doubt. Even though sports are back, and we all think sports is live and die, there's no chance that anybody could look at whatever happens tomorrow, whatever happens this season, whatever happens, whatever's happened over the last couple of months, whatever happened to the Capitals, the Nationals, there's zero chance that anybody with half a brain could look at it and say, oh my God, my life is over and my life is ruined. Oh, I just feel, I'm just in a terrible mood for 4 days because the Washington football team. I mean, if you're doing that, I don't know how you're living. Because you're right, and I think I'm right, and I think many of us are right in the gravity of the situation, right? We're fighting a global pandemic that only seems worse 6 months in than it seems certainly better.
I think another really important component for me is we always kvetch about what a pain in the neck preseason is and what a joke it is, but that's kind of what gets you set for the season. It kind of shows you the sparks on the team that you can get excited about potentially breaking out. It shows you the holes in the team that you can strategize with your friends about how you can plug those holes. And that's gone. So that's sort of like Christmas Eve going away, if that makes any sense.
Absolutely. Christmas Again, you're right on. You're right on. Because people will complain about, preseason games, they're boring, they're this, they're that, I don't want to pay, I don't want to go. I get all that. But, there's a reason. I mean, you think Ron Rivera, wants to have no preseason games? There ain't a football coach in the world that's happy about no preseason games, number one. And for us as fans and media, I don't know how long you've been listening. I opened up the show saying I sense enthusiasm, new coach, this, that. at an all-time low, again, partly because of COVID, partly because of all the controversy that's gone on around this organization for so long, and especially this summer, but also partly because no fans were allowed to go to training camp and no preseason games, even on television. Even if you weren't able to go to the games, no preseason games on television. You had no measuring stick for anything that you were hearing about. You couldn't see it. You couldn't get excited. You couldn't get excited about Cameron Curl, the rookie out of Arkansas that makes it, or Marcus Ball. All you could do is just look at a couple of video clips and see what we were tweeting about. That's all you could do. But you couldn't see it for your own eyes.
Exactly. There's no build-up to the anticipation. And then you made my third point, and that's all of the turmoil that our team has gone through over the course of this.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.